advertised for this year, I'm not sure how many of you saw the title. The title that was advertised for this year was The Worst Midah Out There. So I have a confession to make. It's not my title. But to their credit, they did text me today. Is it okay, Rabbi Gottlieb, if we call this year The Worst Midah Out There? I said, yes, it's okay. So I figure we'll spend our first 2 minutes starting this year by taking a little bit of a survey, a little poll. What do you think the worst midah is? What do you think I'm going to be talking about? Did they tell you? No, you just saw the sign. It said the worst midah out there. So what do you think the worst midah is? What do you think I'm about to talk about? And if enough people say something, I might just go with that, even if I didn't prepare. Yeah?
Anger.
Okay, it's an interesting suggestion. Why do you think it's the worst midah?
I learned that it's kind of like a lack of
emunah. A lack of emunah to get angry. Okay, good. Very interesting. Yes?
Having a self-destructive personality.
Having a self-destructive personality. That's an interesting, complex midah. That could fit under many things. Okay, fair enough. Good. What else?
Ignorance. You're not willing to improve nor to strive for anything.
So it's not so much ignorance as much as not willing to grow. That would be a bad midah. I agree. Yeah, what about you?
Gaiva,
arrogance. That's a pretty bad one. That's a pretty bad one. What else? What else do you think? What are the other really bad midos?
Laziness.
Wow. This is like a murderer's row of bad midos. Yes.
Jealousy.
Oh, wow. Jealousy is really, really bad. Yeah. Oh, that could destroy a person. Eat them up from the inside. What else? Any other suggestions for what might be the best? We're just getting started. Come on in. No one even knows what the shear's about yet. The worst midah out there. So we've had various suggestions what I should speak about. Jealousy, ignorance, celebrating your ignorance, laziness, arrogance, anger. Yes. Any more suggestions for the worst midah out there?
Stubbornness.
Gluttony. I'm really bad with gluttony, so I hope that will be... Whatever, we're not talking about that, okay? This is not public confessional, okay? Too much chilling, yeah, last night. So the truth of the matter is, what the sheer topic is about, in fact, the worst midah out there is anger. You were right. Maybe not for the reasons you think, but you were right. I want to speak to you tonight about anger. So I had one title for the sheer, and Rabbi Israeli, in his infinite wisdom, probably so he could get more guys to go to his shiur, so he put the title as The Worst Midah Out There. But again, I repeat, he asked my permission, and I was okay with it, because I think that anger, ka'as, is a very strong candidate. Some of your suggestions were quite good. The level, the depth to which you guys can imagine things is impressive. You can think of some really bad stuff, absolutely. Come on in, guys. But I do think that anger, that ka'as, is absolutely a good candidate for the worst midah out there. So I would like to speak to you about kas, and I thank Rabbi Israeli or whoever in the suits, as they call them, the powers that be, the big honchos here at Kolel, who came up with that title, the worst midah ever. And I will tell you very simply why I think it may very well be the worst midah, and we're going to divide up the talk. We only have 30 minutes left. We're going to divide up the talk into two halves. In the two halves, more or less, will correspond to the two reasons why I think that kas really may be the worst midah out there. Number one is the severity of the sin. I'll explain each of these points, of course, in a minute. The severity of the sin. And secondly, the complete stupidity. You'll forgive me, but that's only the word I can think of. The counterproductiveness or stupidity. It hurts yourself. The total... It just doesn't make any sense to get angry. So there's two reasons why I think that anger, ka'as, really may be the worst midah out there. Question? Oh, the Igeres Ramban. So the Igeres HaRamban, Ramban wrote a famous letter to his son. See, he writes in the beginning, very good, excellent. He writes in the beginning about how important it is to speak quietly and soft to people so that you don't come to anger. And he speaks about how terrible anger is. Absolutely. But that just begs the question, why is anger so bad? Why, if you're Ramban and you're writing this incredible letter to your son, why mention almost at the immediate outset anger? So this is really the issue, kas as the worst midah out there. So first of all, let's start with the severity. Unfortunately, and again, I think this is a common misconception, and again, I wasn't part of the decision on how they decided to make the Le'el Iyun, but I think, and I applaud them for doing so, having a whole Le'el Iyun, Ben Aron L'Chavero, because I think most of us, unfortunately, in general, and especially in a supercharged environment like Kollel, we focus usually a disproportionate amount of our spiritual energy on Ben Amla Makom. And I think it's important, and again, I think this is, if you take nothing else away from not only my shir, but the whole Leil Iyun, is that, in fact, Ben Amla Chavero is just as important as Ben Amla Makom. So we don't always think of how severe, how bad, how chamor Averos are in the realm of Ben Amla Chavero. We imagine, you know, if a person, chas v'shalom, skipped davening and didn't daven at all. Person didn't put on tefillin. Person went to a non-kosher restaurant. I'll never forget a few years ago, I was teaching at a yeshiva, which I do not teach at the moment, but I was teaching at a different yeshiva, not at Gush, and a student who did wonderfully in the yeshiva, but he told me, he confided in me that at midpoint through his 12th grade year in high school, in a yeshiva high school, he started eating treif. So what do you mean? You mean, so I was already, I thought I was already a savvy Rebbe. I'm like, oh, you mean like you ate like dairy out? Because I'd heard that from students the year before. Then on Matzah Shabbos, after the party, then they went to IHOP. And they, you know, it's only a pancake. So I thought I was like hip to what was going on in the yeshiva high school scene. He said, no, Rabbi, come on. White Castle. White Castle. Chazer treif. Well, not chazer, literally, but hamburgers, meat, treif of meat. So he was racked with guilt when he was telling me this. Racked with guilt, which was appropriate. He should be. But we imagine that if we're Mechalel Shabbos, eat treif, don't put on tefillin, like these are severe things. But, you know, Ben Amla Chavero things, we don't always think of them in the same dimension. It's not just a question of a little less, it's like a different part of our brain. Like, that's not serious like that. That's not like, I'm not frum, because I don't have good midos. So comes along the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos and Daf Kuf Hei Amud Beis, and tells us, this is quoted L'Halacha by the Rambam, that kol ha-koes ki'ilu oved avodah zarah. Think about that for a moment. The last time you got angry, you lost your temper at a friend, or worse, but probably just as commonly for teenagers, at one of your parents. Right? They were nagging you like the parents do, and you just lost your temper at your mother or your father. You lost. Says the Gemara, kol ha-koes ki'ilu oved avodah zarah. It's as if you worshipped idols. It's an amazing statement. And the Rambam quotes this. It's an incredible thing. Now, before I explain how that makes any sense, come on, Rabbi, what is getting angry? Okay, I know I shouldn't have done it. What's that got to do with idols? So let me read you from the continuation of the Rambam. That, the Rambam quotes this, but the Rambam is quoting it from Chazal, from the Gemara. But the Rambam continues and says, I want to tell you something. The Rambam has a well-known, I'm sure some of you have heard this before, the Rambam has a philosophy, a doctrine on all midos, on how to go through life. The Rambam says a person should be balanced. The Rambam was very against being an extremist. I remember when I was only a little bit older than you guys are now, and my first years in YU, Rav Tversky, Shlita used to give chaburas in the Rambam, and I remember this was something I first heard, and not first heard, but first heard in his unique and inimitable and eloquent way. Rav Tversky would elaborate on the Rambam, especially in the Chosdeos, and speaking about how important it is the Rambam and his doctrine of the Shvil HaZahav. A person should go in the middle, in the golden mean, as the Rambam calls it. Don't go to either extreme. The Rambam says, for example, you shouldn't be so miserly, so stingy, you don't give anybody any tzedakah. But a person should also not be so irresponsible, you just give away all your money to the first poor person you see. A person shouldn't be such a coward that the first sign of any danger or threat, they start shivering and run away like a coward. On the other hand, don't be so brave that you do things that are stupid and you walk into the lion's den, literally or figuratively. Be a balanced person. Be in the middle. And the Rambam gives numerous examples, and we can on our own extrapolate to many other areas of life. But says the Rambam, of all of the dimensions of human personality and all the different aspects of who we are, there are two exceptions to the rule. Only two. One, which was mentioned as another worthy candidate for the award of worst mida out there, arrogance. Says the Rambam, there's no place for arrogance. Now, since we're not discussing that, I won't discuss tonight, but you should just realize clearly there's a difference between being arrogant and being self-confident. Where exactly that line is, how do we balance that in the classroom, on the court, It's an important sicha, it's an important shmuz, but that's not our topic tonight. But that, says the Rambam, whatever we're going to define as arrogance over the line, there's no place for that, not even in moderation. But the second thing the Rambam says there's no place for ever is ka'as, is anger. It's a mida garua ad lema'od, says the Rambam. It's such a horrible, terrible, corrupting character trait, says the Rambam. You should never get angry. The Rambam says you can fake being angry. Right? The Rambam was part of the drama club. The Rambam says sometimes if you're a parent or a teacher or in other positions of responsibility, you need to impress upon someone how severe a certain scenario is. And therefore, sometimes you need to raise your voice and act as if you're angry. But you can't get angry. Never any exceptions. Quite a high bar. So this is another kind of thing which... why? What? Why should this be? Right? Yeah, the Rambam has this doctrine. He believes in it. It makes sense to us. Why should this be so bad, Kas? I can never get angry, not even a little bit. So I think the two questions answer each other. Why is the Gemara and the Rambam consider Kas like Avodah Zarah? And why can there be no exception to the rule? And this is based on an idea which I heard from a number of people. I believe I may have first heard this insight, I think, from Rabbi Lamb, who was, in my day, was the president of Yeshiva University. And he explained very beautifully. We think that Avodah Zarah means bowing down to idols. And of course, it did. But that's not the essence of Avodah Zarah. The essence of Avodah Zarah, listen to this. This is very, very important, not only for our topic, but for everything in life. The essence of life, the way it's supposed to be lived, is with Hashem at the center. We all have lots of aspects of our life, right? Imagine a big circle. There's the time we daven, there's the time we learn, but even in Kolel, let alone the other times of the year and of our life, there's other things we do. There's other things we're allowed to do. There's other things we're encouraged to do that it's healthy to do. We can have a job, we go to school, Emir Tzashem in the right time, you'll be a good husband, you'll be a good father. There are things to do. And yes, we're even allowed to play ball and recreation and exercise. There are a lot of different things to do. But what does it mean to be a Ben Torah? What does it mean to be an Eved Hashem? That all those things on the circle, they're all focused on the center point. And the center point is Hashem. Certain things is a more direct line. When we're davening, when we're learning, that's an obvious direct connection to Hashem. But everything we're doing, raising our family, our midos, working in our communities, whatever we're doing, it's all part of a unified, integrated whole with Hashem in the middle. When a person is arrogant, what does that mean? It means that instead of Hashem being in the middle, you're in the middle. That's the definition of arrogance. When the most important thing in life, when everything that's going on revolves around you, you've put yourself in the middle instead of Hashem. And why do we get angry? I don't think this explains every time, but many of the times that we get angry, if we think about it, there's a bit, sometimes a lot, and sometimes a little bit, but there's always, or at least mostly, some element of arrogance. After all, how dare he do that to me? I'm his best friend. How could he do that to me? And I trust me, when parents lose their temper, and unfortunately I plead guilty, I know of what I speak, a large part of it is arrogance. How dare he or she speak to me that way? I'm the parent. I asked him or her to do that. You know, don't come home past the curfew. At least call. You couldn't even text. I'm a parent. Don't think. I'm not saying it's the worst midah or the worst, you know, feeling. Children should be sensitive to the parents, and you should always be sensitive to other people around you. But to some extent, when we get angry, there's a certain gaiva. Gaiva is putting ourselves in the middle. And that, I think, is what the Rambam's telling us. Anger and gaiva are the two exceptions to the rule, because they're both forms of Avodah Zarah. Self-worship. Avodah Zarah is not just something they did in the time of the Tanakh and the Chumash bowing down to idols. We can't even relate to that. We think that's silly and foolish. But guess what? It may not be so far away from us as we might think. Because self-worship, which is what arrogance and anger, which is like the first cousin of of arrogance. Arrogance and anger are based often on a certain overvaluing of putting ourselves in the middle. And therefore, we have to realize that anger in many ways is just as bad or worse as a halachic violation than some of the other things that we would never do. To not daven, to not put on tefillin, to turn on a TV on Shabbos. We wouldn't do such things, most of us. Right? We don't. In many cases, I think for most people in this room, I think it's safe to say, we don't even have a Yetzer Hara to do them. We have other Yetzer Haras, but that's not the topic of tonight's Leliyim. But certain things, we don't even imagine them. They're way beyond anything we're even tempted to do. But somehow, chutzpah, anger, arrogance, these kind of bad midos, we don't think of in the same realm. There's a professor at Stern College, a Hasidish guy named Dr. Aaron Hirschfried, who has a very important essay in general about midos in chinuch. Very important for every teacher, I think every Rebbe, to read such an article. This article, but one line he has, I could quote the whole article the whole night, it's worth it. But one line he has, which is not exactly about anger, but it's relevant. He said, we won't be where we need to be as a community, as people, as in Torah, as mentioned, and as mechanchim, he was talking to teachers, until we communicate to our students, and in this case, I'm telling you, until we communicate to each other, to ourselves. His line was, that chutzpah is muktzah. It's a great line. Since the time we're little kids, right? If you come from a frum home, you're a little kid, you think that all lamatas malachos are called muktzah. Unfortunately, I've met 12th graders who think that way too, but okay. But my kids, they're just like every other kids. My kids can be 6, 7, 8 years old, and if you ask them, like, why can't you cook on Shabbos, or why can't they use the oven, it's muktzah. And muktzah just became a catch-all phrase. But the average kid, the average frum kid coming to the schools, or the communities that you come from, you know, by accident, we do all sorts of things. But it wouldn't dawn on us to turn on the TV, to turn on the phone. It's muktzah. We don't do it. I'm tempted. I wonder what the score of the game is. I want to see a show. But that's what Matzah Shabbos is for. It's muktzah. I would never touch it. But things like anger or chutzpah, well, you know, we just don't think in that term. So the first thing we have to realize is the Rambam, based on the Gemara, says in general, midos are important, and specifically when it comes to something as bad as anger, it could be one of the worst things you could do. A ke'ilu oved avodah zarah. It's all based on self-worship. It's a form of idolatry. And therefore, there's no exception to it. Just over Shabbos, I was reading, it's not really a biography as much as it is an intellectual history and quotes and ideas and lessons of the famous Rosh Yeshiva of the Shar Yoshev Yeshiva, of Shlomo Freifeld. I know we have some madrichim who are either going or already in Shar Yoshev or here, some in this room at the moment. And it's a great, great book about a great, great man. But one of the stories, I was just reading it yesterday, Mom, Shabbos afternoon, I was reading about Rav Freifeld, was a certain Talmud of Rav Freifeld who called him up to say he's having problems, a big fight with his wife. Because she wanted him to spend less time in the Beis Medrash at night and more time at home. She missed him. And he got very upset and angry at her. And he wasn't sure what to do with all of it. So he called up his Rebbe. So first of all, P.S., Rav Freifeld said, she let you go to the Beis Medrash and learn night Seder so many years, you owe her. Stay at home. That was the marriage advice. But he had such hanah, it says in the book, he was so excited that his Talmud asked him the Shiloh, why? So I would have thought, the first thing he said two reasons why he was so proud of his student. So number one is, which is I think most people would think, he had such an avas haTorah. This was a person, he wanted to learn so much, the idea that he wouldn't be able to go to night Seder was such a terrible thing for him. It got him so upset, he even got into a fight with his wife, which he shouldn't have, but he did. What avas haTorah? And Rav Freifeld said, yes, I'm so proud of him that learning is so important to him. Wonderful. But the second thing, I couldn't believe it. It's like Mashert. You know, all of a sudden I get a text from Rabbi Israeli. I want to speak at the Leil Yun. I was just reading this story. What does he say, Rav Freifeld? That the second reason, why was I so upset at him? That he realized that kas is a halachic shaila. No worse, no different than a shaila in kashrus. He was asking his Rebbe a shaila, am I allowed to get angry in this case? Was it appropriate that I got angry? His Rebbe told him it wasn't. But the very fact that he asked the question, that he looked at it seriously, he understood the severity of it. It's a halachic issue. No more, no less, and maybe more, but certainly no less than your tefillin, than your Shabbos, and then your kashrus. But all of this, I think, just leads to the second point. It's not just the severity of the isser, but it's also, and this is where I think that anger, kas, really is a unique candidate for the worst mita out there. Because of all the bad meat, as you can imagine, kas is pointless. It is worse than pointless. It is almost always completely counterproductive. I can imagine, I have to admit it, the last time I got angry wasn't so long ago, I can actually still remember it. But if you could imagine any time in the not distant future, a past I should say, where you got angry at a friend, maybe your sibling, somebody's got an annoying brother, annoying little sister, right? Who doesn't, right? Easily could get under our nerves. We get angry at them, or our parents. When's the last time you really got angry? I don't mean in your inside. I mean you lost your temper and you yelled at somebody. When's the last time you got angry at someone and it made the situation any better? Can somebody give me an example where they got angry and look at that, they told them how it is and I spoke my mind and I'm right and it's not there. And it all got better. The relationship, all of a sudden, it's great now. 90% of the time, not only does it not help when you get angry, it almost always makes the situation worse. And we are foolish, all of us, because we know this. We all know this from experience, from common sense, but in the moment, we can't control ourselves. Now, why is it? So here I want to share with you a tremendous insight of the famed Stipler Gaon. The Stipler is famous for all of his Kedusha Marshas. There's a thin little book called the Birkas Peretz, which is his Kedusha on Chumash. So if you take a look, in the beginning of Shmos, on the Makos, he discusses Tzvardeya. Right? Everyone's favorite plague, because it has everyone's favorite song. Frogs here, frogs there. Come on, you know the song. The Israeli kids don't know the song, but here I'm speaking to American teenagers, right? Frogs are jumping everywhere, even in Paros. Okay, fine, in the basement. Anyway. You know the song. Okay, I can see a few people know the song. Frogs everywhere. How do we know frogs everywhere? So the Torah tells us, Moshe's commanded to do what? He's supposed, or not Moshe, we know it's going to be Aaron. He's going to hit the Nile. And what does the Torah say? V'ta'al ha-tzvardeya, v'techas es eretz Mitzrayim. The tzvardeya, in singular, came out of the water and covered the whole land of Egypt. Even though right before that, Moshe was told, v'hal es ha-tzvardeim, in plural. So since you're little kids, even before you knew how to read Rashi's script, you knew this Rashi. Rashi, of course, quotes the famous Medrash. Now, what happened? How many frogs came out of the river? Just one. Well, Egypt is a big country, and that may not be as big as America, but it is way bigger than Israel. It's a big country. How many frogs do you think there needed to be that it could be v'tchas, that it covered all of Egypt? Right? Millions of frogs, clearly. So how could one frog be millions of frogs? So the famous Medrash, that they hit the frog, and it was like they were at Great Adventure or some other amusement park, and instead of the frog dying, its mouth opened and reams of little baby frogs came spinning out. That's the Rashi. You know this Rashi? You've heard the Medrash, and those binders that you come home with on Pesach that are bigger than three pieces of matzah, right? It was somewhere in some Dvar Torah year, you had that Dvar Torah, right? Comes along the Stipler, and he asks a question which I'm embarrassed to say I never thought of. But it's such an obviously brilliant question once you hear it. Says something, I don't understand. This is Pashut, human nature. Common sense. It was not a bad idea to hit the frog. It's not a bad idea. You think it's going to die. And it was counterproductive. It didn't work. Okay, maybe you try a second time. Maybe you get a different stick. Maybe they use this kind of stick and that. Or get a bigger, stronger guy. And maybe need somebody with... A few times you try, but eventually you should figure out, hey, not only is it not working, one frog, no, what's the big deal? How many times must they have hit the frog that it had millions of little baby frogs covering the country? They must have hit the frog tens of times, hundreds of times. So the sniper, understand, the first few times, okay, it's not a bad idea. But at some point, you have to be an idiot, you forgive me, not to realize, hey, let's just stop hitting it. We're making it worse. How come they didn't stop? So says the Stipler, because what happened? They hit the frog with an expectation that it would die. When we do things in life with an expectation of a certain outcome, and then what happens when that outcome doesn't happen? We expected our friend to do this. We expected if I put in all this extra time, the coach is going to put me in the starting lineup. We expected that if I do this and that, parents are going to give me keys to the car. We expected all sorts of things, and if they don't come, what happens? We get angry. Says a stipler, they hit the frog thinking it was going to die. And instead, not only did it not die, there's more frogs. You know what they did? They got angry. And what did they do because they were angry? Hit it again. And what happened? Instead of it dying, more frogs happened, which made them more angry. So then they... A vicious cycle. Anyone watching from the side, anyone thinking about it after the fact, can easily see their mistake. But what happens, says a stipler, this is what anger does to us. When we get angry, we don't think. We become irrational. And we do things that are self-injurious, that are self-destructive, that are counterproductive, that hurt ourselves. In English, there's actually a great idiom. I think if the stipler knew this, he might have written in English, like Rav Huttner used to do sometimes in his letters, but the stipler didn't know any English. But in English, it's a great idiom. Sometimes we actually say, you come home and you know, your parents or your teacher might ask, what happened to you? So-and-so got so angry, he lost his mind. You ever heard such a phrase? He lost his mind. Next time you hear that, say, that's the stipler. That's exactly what the stipler says on the frogs. Look it up. When you get angry, you lose your mind. You don't think straight. You don't think rationally. And therefore you end up doing things which are counterproductive. The Pasuk in Koheles, Perek Zion, refers to someone who gets angry as a kseel, as a fool. And my whole life, until I knew this stipler, I never understood what he's talking about. Shlomo HaMelech's talking about it. He's the wisest of all men. But I can think of other adjectives, other pejoratives to describe somebody who's an angry person. Is it Odeh Avodah Zarah? He's a sinner. He's arrogant. But why is he a fool? But now we understand. Because anger is the worst kind of midah. Greed, someone mentioned before, greed is a terrible midah, right? But at least in the short term, if you're greedy and you just, all you care about is money, maybe you'll make the money. If you're a glutton, someone said, and all you do is eat, well, then you can look like this, right? You can actually get what you want. Maybe it's a bad midah, but you can actually accomplish it. Anger is the worst kind of midah, because not only is it terrible and an aveira and all that, it doesn't even work. Think about any time you've imagined yourself or your friends or family, or you've seen them, they get angry. Not only did it not help, it usually makes things worse. And yet we do it, because we think we're so much more sophisticated than the Egyptians. Really, we all have a little mitzri inside of us. And when something happens in school, at home, on the court, in the field, whatever it is, where we have a certain expectation, and it doesn't go our way, we get angry. What? If you're playing, right? The playoffs are not right. The ref doesn't call a foul, right? You expect it. If that happens, that's what they're supposed to do. I'll tell you a confession. When I was, your age, I clearly wasn't a center. I played the position I was tall enough for. I played point guard. And I was on a yeshiva team where, let's just say, we were better at learning than we were at ball. So very often, but we had that one classic yeshiva guy who was 6'4". But, if you have a guy who's 6'4", who's coordinated, right, he's like the Jewish Jordan. But we didn't have that guy. So very often, multiple times a game, you'd make a pass to the guy and go off his, brick hands, or he'd miss the layup, that kind of thing. And I have to say, I confess to you, I can say it now because Baruch Hashem, I overcame it, but I had a tremendous problem with Kass on the court. I got very angry. Not only at the refs, I get very angry at my own players. I'd make a great pass, so I thought, and it wasn't showing up on the box score, let's just put it that way. What was the low point, which ended up being my turning point, because often the low point is when you can turn around? We were lining up for foul shots, and a player from the other team said to me, "It must stink to be on your team." He's just yelling at everybody. And I was embarrassed enough by that slowly but surely I was able to get a little bit more control. But even that, getting angry on the court or in other areas of life, it has to do with this idea of the stipler. We have expectations. Something's going to happen. I put in this effort, something good's going to happen. I ask this to the person, they're going to answer me. And when it doesn't happen, we get angry. We have to take a step back and realize it's counterproductive. It doesn't work. I have less than 7-8 minutes left or something like that. So let me just, I want to flip the scales now. I want to talk about the positives for a second. And then I want to end with an amazing story. This is an important rule of life. Zeh lu ma'azeh. If something is really, really, really bad, then you can be sure the corollary is also true. And that is that whatever the opposite of it is going to have to be really, really good. And if this is how bad Chazal understood anger was, then the good news is that's how important, that's how valuable, and that's how awesome it is when we are prompted, when we're provoked, but we control our anger. The Gemara says that one of the reasons why Yehoshua merited to be the leader of the Jewish people, to imagine who's going to be the successor to Moshe Rabbeinu, and in certain ways outdo Moshe, who's going to go to lead them into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe didn't. Moshe had a few Talmidim. Great guy. Moshe had his own sons who he wanted to be his successors. Why was Yehoshua chosen? So there's different explanations. Yehoshua had many milos. But one of them, based on the Pasuk, is Yehoshua had a valuable, valuable character trait. He knew how to get along with different types of people. Because what often is the case, most of us aren't angry at everybody, right? We have certain kind of guys that we're friends with, but there's that other kind that annoy us and we get angry at them. And if I take someone else, you know, in the other side of the room, it's just the opposite. They get along with those guys. And then there's other guys who do great in the classroom or the base matters, but not on the ball court. And those other people who are on the ball court get, well, Yehoshua got along with everybody and in every circumstance. And that's why he was Zoche. He was Zoche to be the successor, the one who followed Moshe. As opposed to, the Gemara says, with numerous examples, Kol HaKoes Imhu Chacham, Chachmaso Nistalek Mimenu. If he's a Chacham, he'll lose his anger. An example when Moshe got angry and he forgot a halacha. If he's a Navi and he got angry, he could lose his Navua. The Gemara gives an example. And then the Gemara says, even someone who Hashem promised great things to, if he gets angry, he can lose that. And the Gemara gives a proof from David HaMelech's older brother, Eliyav. It was supposed to be Eliyav who was the Melech. It was supposed to be Eliyav who was Moshiach and Shal Yisrael. It was supposed to be Mashiach ben Eliyav. How many here has even heard of Eliyav? We're not going to discuss now Tanakh, the state of Tanakh study in American high schools. Most people, no one in this room even heard of him. It's in the Tanakh, David HaMelech's older brother. We all heard of David HaMelech. At least it's a song, right? No one ever, could you imagine, Eliyav lost so much. You never even heard of him. He could have been the man. And now he's a nobody. Why, says the Gemara? Because he got angry. Yehoshua, on the other hand, he was everything. He's a name brand. He's Yehoshua. Why? Because he knew how to get along with people. And he didn't lose his temper, and he didn't get angry. The Gemara Nedarim says, Kol HaKoes, Kol Mine Gehenim Sholtim Alav. Someone who's really an angry person. Again, I can't tell you you're allowed to get angry every now and then, because the halachas you can't. But if you do, I could say you're human. And you're still not worse than me, because I also get angry periodically. But when the Gemara here is not talking about someone who gets angry periodically, Kol HaKoes, says the Gemara, an angry person. Certain people by temperament that just always seem to be angry at somebody or something. Says the Gemara, if you're that kind of person, Kol Minei Gehenim Sholtim Alecha, all forms of hell, all forms of Gehenim rule over you. What does that mean? Right? We don't like to think about it, but okay, there's something out there called Gehenim. I know there's this one place out there, you know, H-E double hockey sticks, or something that my Rebbe once told me about. Right? But what is Minei Gehenim? There's many Gehenims. So I'll tell you what I think the pshat is. Years ago, I saw this after I used to be saying this to people. I think Rabbi Yerucham Levavitz, the famous Mashgiach, said the same thing. Kol Mine Gehenim means it's not just that if you get angry, you're probably going to end up eventually in the wrong place, in Gehenim. Because after all, angry people do lots of sins, right? When you lose your temper, you're more likely to curse, certainly on the court, but beyond that, You lose your temper. Lashon hara, rechilos, onas dvarim, being angry at people, you're mean to people. When you're angry, you're mean. So it's not just that. If you're an angry person, after eventually at 120, you're going to go to Gehenna. Could be. But says the Gemara, kol minei Gehenim, you don't need to wait till then. Your life will be a living hell. It's not just Gehenim in the next world. There's a Gehenim in this world. If you're plagued, if you're ruled by anger, if you can't control your temper, you're a miserable person. Do you know what it's like to be married to an angry person? To be the son of an angry mother or father? To be the sibling of an angry older brother or sister? To be the student of an angry Rebbe? I know what that was like. It is a living Gehenim, says the Gemara. Kol mine Gehenim Sholtim. You don't have to wait till 120 years. You don't have to wait till the next world. Kol HaKoes, you make your life and everyone around you a living Gehenim. But if that's true, and with this we conclude, then the flip side is also true. And here I'll end with a story. Rav Chaim Volozhiner, the most famous student of the Vilna Gaon, the founder of the modern yeshiva movement, was a Rav. And he used to give out tzedakah. What's the biggest day of tzedakah of the year? Not only that, Purim, right? Matanos Avyonim. So he's waiting with his gabbai who's got the sack of gold coins or whatever it is, and the aniyim are lining up. And he gives a certain ani, a poor person, some money. A few minutes later, the line is still going, it's staking around. And he notices somebody, the face is familiar, but the clothing is different. Then he realizes, that's the same guy. He just went out, put on a new coat, came back. He thought he could fool Rav Chaim Volozhiner. But you know what he said? Nah, I'll give him any. It's okay, I'll give him. 10 minutes later, 15 minutes later, the line is still going with poor people. And again, a new coat. The same guy. The third time, a chutzpah. The third time he comes to try to steal, to try to trick the rabbi. So this time he says, listen, give me a Dvar Torah. Let's be honest. You're going to come a third time? I want a Dvar Torah. So he let the guy know he didn't trick me. But at the same time, give me a Dvar Torah. The hour's late, I won't tell you the Dvar Torah, but it's a good one. Come Purim time. Text me or WhatsApp me, I'll tell you the Dvar Torah. But for lack of this is late, I'll skip the Dvar Torah. The bottom line was he gives Rav Chaim Volozhiner an awesome Dvar Torah. Rav Chaim Volozhiner is impressed. He gives him the money. Sometime shortly afterwards, we're going to be done in a minute, guys. And shortly afterwards, he goes to his Rebbe, the Vilna Gaon, and he says, Rebbe, here's the story. This guy, who was not only a poor person, a schnorrer, he's a god of schnorrer. And he was zokeh, he had this unbelievable Dvar Torah on Megillas Esther that I never thought of. How could it be that this guy, this nothing loser, unethical thief who tried to trick me one time, two times, three times to steal from me, he was able, and he has this beautiful insight into Megillas Esther that I never thought of? How could it be? Said the Vilna Gaon to Rav Chaim Volozhiner, I'll tell you, honest truth, that guy, that was Eliyahu HaNavi. You just merited a Giloy Eliyahu. And why were you Zoche to it? Because the second time, and especially the third time, he was trying to cheat you, he was trying to trick you. You had every right. Normal person would have lost their temper, would have gotten angry. But you controlled yourself, you were calm, you remained in control. You weren't like the Egyptians. Therefore, you were Zoche to Giloy Eliyahu. So I can't, Chevra, I cannot promise you, I'm not Rav Chaim Volozhiner or the Gra. I cannot promise you a Giloy Eliyahu if the next time you're provoked, you control yourself on the court, in the classroom, wherever you are. But I can tell you that unlike those people who are living in a living Gehenim because of their anger, if you learn how to control your temper, to deal with people, to deal with frustrations in a more healthy, calm way, then your life may or may not see Eliyahu, but your life will be a living Olam Haba. You won't have to wait to Olam Haba to get your reward because you'll be a happier person, a more successful person, a more productive person, and you will be a more likable person. So we have to realize that as bad as anger is, Zelu Matzeh, controlling the anger and working on ourselves is just as good. And hopefully if we can take this stuff seriously and realize these are real halachic issues which require real effort and real work, Yemirat Hashem, will all be better people in general and have better control of our tempers. Thank you very much, guys. I think the avodah zarah is that the anger is based on a certain self-control.